Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the major choice humans must make between the cradle and the grave. Who am I? In this show, we will discuss the possibilities available to the human during this incarnation and the consequences of these decisions. Listen as Swami explains Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." By accepting mortality, we believe in two powers, which makes sickness, suffering, and death a belief in something other than the one divine life. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience eternal life. Swami, the title of today's show is The Challenges of Accepting Mortality. So I think we need to talk about what the challenges are. And what does it mean when we say accepting mortality?
Yeah, I think what we're going to focus on here are the laws of matter, which state that for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. Mortality is a belief in two powers. And whether we are aware of it or not, that is actually a choice that we make. That we either believe in matter or we have an understanding of ourselves that transcends form. There's an old saying, no good deed goes unpunished. And with a belief in matter, we really can't win for losing.
So we're talking about the belief in the two powers. Basically, what we said in the summary is that we want to believe that God is all. And that what we believe in our five senses is not real.
Yeah, and for a lot of us, that's a tough pill to try and swallow. But the more that we start to delve into divine science, and you start to unbox the scriptures, in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy figured out exactly what Jesus was doing with his miracles, that it wasn't something that was some sort of power that was bestowed upon him, and that Jesus wasn't sent here to do a patch-up job on God's creation. Jesus' message was the message of the Christ, which is basically the truth of being, that God is all and all is good. And when we accept mortality, we're accepting the reality of suffering, sickness, disease, death, accidents, all of the things that do not fall under the heading of the divine creation. And to get a good account of the divine creation, you really want to make reference to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All right, so this divine creation is absolute goodness. And then you go into Genesis 2. In Genesis 2:6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, this mist that fell over the earth becomes the secondary creation, which says that in the beginning, man created God in his own image and likeness, which is basically mortal mind looking at itself, as itself, to itself, and in itself. And this false creation that believes in good and evil, right and wrong, is under the law of opposites, what we call the law of karma in yoga. It's struggling to survive, and it insists that the unreal is real, and then continues to make its own rules to prove it. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to understand that this is a choice that we can make. We can either believe that we are this finite mortal creature, or we can believe that we're in the image and likeness of the divine. And that's what yoga is. Yoga is union with the divine. But in order for us to actualize this as an experience, we have to give up this false creation, this belief that we are a finite mortal creature. Because in our accepting mortality, we're accepting and believing that sickness is real. Life has a span. As a human, we have a physical form that has needs. The consequences that we're talking about is pretty much all of the problems that we're struggling with today.
One of our attendees from our Theory 2 class that we had last Thursday, I thought, made an interesting point, and he said, is there this retribution for belief? Kind of hoping maybe we can touch upon that in today's show.
Well, again, there's retribution for belief in something other than the one divine life. The retribution really is divine love. Divine creation will not let us accept anything less than the perfection of our being. And so this law of karma really is a signal for us to, the Bible says, repent, and what it translates as to think differently. And we have to start to know what the Bible calls the truth. We need to understand that this belief in matter and everything that we're doing to preserve it, protect it, and prove it is just a waste of time, because the divine creation is done and it is under the government of divine law, but we have to know it and then we have to accept it as our identity.
Well, you were also talking Thursday night about having the mind of Christ. And to do that, you suggested, you know, follow the scriptures, its instruction, and God gave man dominion. Again, hoping that we can shed some light on that.
Yeah, the more that we start to understand this, we interpret the instruction that comes from revelations in the Bible. St. John tells us, come out of her, come out of this false sense of existence. But in the framework of trying to overcome this world, we find that there's a dragon and two beasts. And in Kriya Yoga, we have Ida Pingala Sushumna, that we must overcome mortal mind, this false mind that works on duality, it works on contrast, that this secondary creation is a separation from what we'll call divine mind, the truth of being. And the mind of Christ is translated as spiritual sense, that Christ is the interpreter. The Christ is what makes the Word of God, the divine creation, intelligible to human consciousness. But we have to come out of these modes of mortal thought, human thinking, which is basically our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our five senses. We have to rise above corporeal sense and then think differently. We have to move from the rational, which is, again, the belief in two powers and under the law of karma, and we have to accept this unified state. See, divine mind thinks in terms of the absolute. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. It's not a mix of good and evil. It's absolute goodness. There are no opposing forces in divine creation. And so, as we start to understand how all of this is working, and we start to develop skills and strategies, and we begin to give up this belief that we are a mortal creature and accept ourselves in the way that we are created, which is as spirit, and understand that you're the expression of an indestructible principle, then you're starting to think differently.
So when we are going to rise above what you were saying, this false sense, and then we become and realize the truth of our being, we're still going to be able to have the five senses, but we're going to have a different reaction to them, or a non-reaction?
Well, absolutely. I mean, now you will start to see what is reporting in your five senses isn't real. Now, what we mean by real means that it is not part of the divine creation. It's not a self-existent power. That it is human thought about what's really here. As you start to shift your awareness and this truth begins to reveal itself to you, you will still see with your five senses. Like you say, you won't have to react to what is appearing in your five senses because your sense of well-being will be totally established in your relationship with the changeless state of being, with the divine creation, which is absolute goodness. And so you would gain distance from the belief that you are a mortal creature, and you'd have more and more understanding of yourself as this eternal spiritual being.
So my next curiosity to discuss with you, let's talk about that word good. In the beginning, you said in Genesis 1, God made everything and everything was very good. And then we talk about good and bad. So what is the differences here? And I think sometimes we can get caught up with what we think the meaning of these words are.
Well, yeah, most of us are just working with mortal mind, carnal mind, or our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our mortal senses, corporeal sense. Now, you have to remember that when you're working at that level of consciousness, you're looking at the law of opposites. And so at that level of understanding, which is material sense, there's good and bad. There's right and wrong. There's light and darkness. But as you start to rise into spiritual sense, you start to see in terms of divine mind, which works in the absolute. In the realms of spirit, which they called the holy, which basically means that it's whole, it's complete, there are not opposing forces. That you move from the belief in the many into the understanding of the one, that there is just one eternal life. One of the things that I think is very important is to understand how we can use good to help us understand how we're thinking. Am I being individualized from the world mind, from the law of karma, the belief in two powers, or am I individualized from divine mind, which is the unified state, and absolute life, absolute goodness? Because all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine. And so if what is appearing in your senses doesn't have divine qualities, then there's your signal, you're not thinking right.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I believe we have a quote here from Mary Baker Eddy that might fit in really well with what we're talking about today.
Well, we are looking at Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 1531. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer, loftiest adoration, is not one of faith merely. It is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. See, here she's really putting it on the table. This is what we're talking about, that divine creation, this divine omnipresence, is not just something that you believe in, but it is a principle, it is a law that we must demonstrate. Because if we don't know it, we can't demonstrate it. And if we do know it, or we think we know it and it's not demonstrating, then we don't know it right. This gives you a litmus test, because most of what we do today is we declare that we're spiritual. Something as simple as a great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. Most of us think she's asking us to give all our possessions to the poor, and that won't get you what it is that she's talking about. What she's really talking about is we must give up our belief in matter. We have to understand that we are not a finite mortal being, that we are the expression of this divine spiritual law that is perfect. The way that we have been socialized and the way that Orthodox religion has presented these scriptures, it doesn't go far enough. And so as a result, we're still working with the law of karma. We're still working out of Genesis 2, the secondary creation, and we're working with a lot of our own man-made human rules to prove how the unreal became real. What we really want to do is we want to put off the belief in the false and then affirm the truth.
I think it's very interesting that she uses the phrase a great sacrifice of material things, because we as humans, that would be a great sacrifice for us to not live with our 5 senses controlling what we see, hear, think, feel, do, and so on.
To give up the belief in matter means you have to come out of the belief that you're going to die. And fear is what drives our civilization today. Let's look at this pandemic, that it is a belief that there is something other than God, something other than the allness of God, the goodness of divine creation. And so we're in violation of spiritual law, and yet collectively we have in our money in God we trust. Now, when we believe that we're mortal, we're saying there is no God to trust, because either God is all or there really is no God. And accepting a belief in 2 powers or activating the law of karma comes with the belief in matter. And it's very important to know that belief is a false sense of power. And fear is really a defense mechanism for this false sense of life.
Belief, I know we could probably talk a month on belief alone, because we can believe that we're spiritual, but we may not really be spiritual. Like you say, we have to have the fruits that would let us know if we were being spiritual. So let's talk more about belief.
Like you say, we can believe in anything, and belief becomes a choice when all the options are available to a human to be considered. The physics of it is like attracts like. Now, if we desire matter, we're accepting finite identity. If we desire thoughts, we're accepting finite identity, but if we desire spirit, we're accepting infinite identity. One can have physical and mental beliefs to change finite bad to finite good because matter is thought made visible. However, it's impossible to have physical, mental, and spiritual beliefs because spirit is above and beyond karmic law. See, spirit will dispel the false sense of belief. So, in other words, just like the light dispels darkness, truth dispels error. And what we find is that this false sense isn't an opposing power to the truth. All it is the absence of truth. And for us to know and understand ourselves in the way that we're created, then our ability to acknowledge that divine creation will then correct our thought and externalize as a much better external experience than we could ever have done humanly.
I'd like to talk a moment about this demonstration that you're talking about. And you had mentioned one in the theory class last Thursday that Mary Baker Eddy had said to a student of hers when she said, "What clouds?" Can you relay that story to our listeners?
Yeah, when she was living in Pleasant View, one of the people that worked in her house came and said that there was a storm brewing. Black clouds were coming in, and Mary Baker Eddy just said, "What clouds?" And the woman went back to the window and looked out and saw the clouds dissolving. And to me, that's what we're talking about. It's one thing to say, "What clouds?" and then you get lambasted with snow. It's one thing to say that sickness isn't real and then you can't get up out of the chair. That what she's telling us here is that we need to distinguish between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. The term that we use in yoga is avidya, ignorance. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We have the best of intention. We think we're doing God's will, but we're still unconscious to the presence of this principle, this law. And the main reason is because it's invisible and it's intangible. And it doesn't report in our five senses, which is the mind that most of us have accepted as what we're going to use to get us through this incarnation. And so we need to learn and develop the spiritual sense, which is what Colossians 3:3. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, that's a very important clue that's coming from Scripture. But again, if you don't understand what that's saying, then you're lost in a human interpretation of this instruction for us to think differently, to accept the mind of Christ, to rise above corporeal sense. And we don't know if we've risen above corporeal sense until we have accepted the mind of Christ and we're able to prove it by correcting what is appearing in our human experience, our five senses?
Well, I think it's a good time to maybe talk about also when we recite the Lord's Prayer, what does that really mean? What should we really be getting out of the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, I think for me, the Lord's Prayer promises, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." For me, again, the will of God is Genesis 1, the divine creation, that everything is good. When we are accepting divine will, then it must prove with divine qualities, which is something very different, because prior to understanding divine science or studying divine science, for me, the will of God was anything. And again, if I was experiencing sickness, suffering, disease, death, lack, limitation, to me, that was all the will of God. But that's the law of karma. That's the love of God telling me not to accept anything less than thy will, which is the perfection of being. Mortality is a belief in something other than this divine creation, because it does not reflect the divine quality of goodness, absolute goodness.
Well, let's talk about the phrase, "In God we trust." I know we've spoken about that before as it relates to that saying on our dollar bill, for example, on our currency. But let's talk about that as it relates to our topic today.
Yeah, like I said before, when we believe that we're mortal, we're saying there is no God to trust, because either God is all or there really isn't any God. And so we're working with our human concept about what God is, and that is completely rooted in a belief in matter. And the unfortunate thing about it is that you're completely unconscious to this principle, this law, this divine law, which is right here, right now, and readily accessible to each and every one of us, but it requires fidelity to it. We need to rely on it and not just believe in it. But if you don't know it, then of course, it's hard to trust it. And so we have a belief in matter. We believe in material means for our well-being. There's the alternative methods that we believe in the power of human thought. And if we can work with positive thoughts and emit them with belief, we can have effect on our experiences. We can change finite bad to finite good. But what we're talking about here is liberation from this law of karma. And in order to do that, you need to have absolute trust in this divine omnipresence. But when you do, you have to prove it. And the only way that we can really prove it is by living above corporeal sense and then correcting it, using it as a law, as a principle. The Bible says, "Ask in my name and it shall be given to you." That's not just a promise, but that should be a demonstrable principle readily available to each and every one of us.
Well, it is about that time. We do have to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And if you want to listen to more of our Blog Talk Radio shows, when you see the fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, click that, and that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. Also, clicking on the Products tab and then Online Classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So, Swami, any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and experience eternal life. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.